Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
The Lord is here with us.
Our God reigns. 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 Our God reigns.
Upon us, a light upon us, let your glorious light abide upon us.
Yes, you reign.
Thank you, Father. Cause your word to be strongly and mightily delivered. Let your spirit alight upon us. Show us the way of the Father, the path of the eagle in the air. Show us the things that make for our peace. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And let your people be truly satisfied with the very words that come from your heart. I hide myself behind the cross. But only you, Jesus, will be truly revealed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Good to see you this morning. We'll take a fast flight. And we'll touch down in a few minutes. Hallelujah. Okay, this morning I want to look at a few things. Hopefully I trust God for grace to be able to communicate my heart in the most simple way. And I hope that the Lord will help you to be able to receive these things in your heart. The first thing I want to share with you is something I mentioned last week. And it's about the door of entrance. In the year 2017, you must trust God for every door of entrance that He brings to you. Not every door is a divine door, but always be sensitive in your spirit to be able to see the door that the Lord is opening. Because many times when God opens doors to you, they will not look like doors. They will look like opposition. And many times we have labeled the doors wrongly. Paul was speaking. He said, a great and effectual door has been opened to me. He said, but there are what? Many enemies. Who opened the door? The Lord. Did the Lord put the enemies there? The enemy has an eye for entrances. You have your body is made up of gates. You may not know. You have your eye gate, you have the ear gate, you have the what? What else? What other gate? The mouth gate. What other gate? Every gate in your body, even your heart, has a gate. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life, everything that pertains to your fulfillment and success in life, they flow from the spirit. What does that tell you? That for you to have good success, you must go into the powerhouse and make sure everything is secure from inside. Many times we spend our time and give our attention to the things that are on the external, not knowing that there's corruption on the inside. So eventually when the thing begins to flow, it's corrupted because the channel is dirty. give attention to your spirit. As we get into 2017, be deliberate about everything you do. Don't just run up and down. It is the devil that runs to and fro. By the time you begin to see yourself begin to try to hustle, you need the word hustle, to and fro. That's another word for hustle. You have taken over the devil's ministry. Be watchful. For the life of a man will never consist in the abundance of things that he has. Every time you begin to see yourself gravitate towards earthly things, too much, beyond what is necessary. And it's a signal, pointer to decay that is coming on within. Will God give us all these things? Yes. Can we do away with them? Yes. That's the perception we are going to carry. Everything God gives to us, we are only custodians, pending when He will require it. God must not be afraid to give you 100 million, 100 billion, because He knows whenever He needs it, you are His man. We are not trying to be rich to prove a point that God is faithful. God is faithful. That's His name. The Bible says that these patriarchs of old, they waited for the fulfillment of the promise, but they didn't see it, and they died in hope. Can you imagine when Isaiah was prophesying, Mandali Kamasahidala, for unto us a child shall be born, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he probably was in the temple. And I said, hey, you have started. The last one you gave us the other day, we are yet to see anything. Now you have come again. What is this one? Why are we any time frame? Because the Bible says, and people will begin to quote scriptures to you, that if a prophet gives you a prophecy and it comes to pass, it means that man is a true prophet. But when somebody preaches or begins to prophesy and 5 years, 10 years, we are not seeing the prophecy, hey, that man is a false prophet. So what happened to Isaiah? That means of all prophets, Isaiah is the most... Just because the prophecy didn't come to pass doesn't mean it's false. Certain prophetic words require the input of man. There are some that require only God's input. But there are quite a number of things that the Lord will say, it will require you. If you don't cooperate with it, it won't come out. Are you hearing me? So it's wisdom for you to be able to tell, these things that the Lord is saying to me, does it require any input on my part? You understand? Then ask yourself, what is the demand of this prophecy? What will it require me? You can't cajole God with 21 days fasting. That is works. Works. But when you understand demands of prophecy, you may fast 21 days. Did you hear what I just said? You can't change God's mind with your fasting. But when you know what God is saying, this thing may require fasting, then you respond by faith. Keep your eyes open. Tell the Lord to anoint your eyes for opportunities. And when you are seeing an opportunity stand in front of you, and you begin to the opposition correspondingly with it, that is your door. If you see an opportunity that is just there and there's no opposition to it, even the devil has seen that there's nothing there. It's too good. It's too sweet. No opposition. No risk. Just smooth. And then you think somebody just left it there. You are not the first to see that door. Ask the Lord to anoint your eyes in 2017 to see every opportunity. Some people, this opportunity many times will be in people. Are you hearing me? You are talking to someone and the Lord is like, you just feel this urge in your heart. No, get close to this person. You know you are very proud. You don't get anybody's number until they ask you for it. But now you're like, you know. For some reason, you don't even know why you should get close to this person. But you just establish the contact. In 2017, ask the Lord to give you eyes that can see. So when men are saying, there's nothing here, you are smiling because you've seen something. These are the kind of prayers you will pray in 2017. Part of the challenges we have is that many times we get too familiar with the things that we see of God. We expect that, as you know, the Lord is here, we can feel His presence. And we feel that simply because it's normal that He should show up. How many of you have ever attended a church that you know that you didn't really feel God's presence? You just knew you went to church, You know, I need honest people. I see you just went and you sat down. There was a lot of drumming. There was a lot of singing. Maybe you even sang some hymns. And then you were hoping something would happen in between. Before you knew, you were sharing the grace. God's presence is real and it's everywhere. But you see, God's presence is not just floating. Men are the custodian of the glory. I remember I walked into a place that was not church and you felt God's presence. There's somebody there carrying it. You're an ark. There's an ark in that place. There's a temple in that place. Bible says your body is the temple, the custodian of his glory. How come you say this is a temple and there is no glory? There is no fire burning on this altar. And you want to go into 2017 the way you came into 2016? No way, sir. Until you begin to see yourself the way everyone sees you, that you are a temple, a living temple, that there must always be fire on this altar, you will not know how to carry yourself. You know the way we behave ourselves? In those days when we used to do Catholic Church. And this year I'm trusting the Lord for an entrance into the Catholic Church. I want to visit, attend some of their services. And maybe CNS. Seriously. We are taking the battle to the gates. I'm not waiting. You people are too born again for my liking. I want to look for people who are locked within the system and are hoping for something different. I want to go in there, and when you say your Hail Mary, I will kneel with you. Why the priest is septum? I lift up my hands to Sahali Desha. I am a carrier of this glory. Let there be an outbreak upon these people. Give me somebody here. I'm not asking the person to leave the Catholic Church. You don't understand. I didn't go there to look for members. I need a revival to start in there. I need another Martin Luther within that system. What do you think could have happened? Do you know how many people attend Celestial Church of Christ? Do you know how many people? Do you know when they go to Imeko every year? Have you seen the glory of their glory? But that is one man's vision that was being carried out and sustained after he had died. I don't know if you are seeing. We know some of you are born again. Your father was born again. Your grandfather was born again. You are born on the altar. You are named on the altar. Your life has been very perfect. You have never made a mistake. I'm not talking about you today. Jesus didn't come for people like you. He came for people who made mistakes. He came for people who they said, your father said he would train you to school. Then your father died. Then they said, go and live with your uncle. Your uncle turned you to houseboy. You know those people? They are the people that Jesus came for. Those ones that when you tell them, how did you come here? They will say, in other words, where did we start from? So next year is busy for me. I'm looking for those chief men, those choice souls. Those people that God is like, who's going to go to her? Who's going to go to him? You can't sit here and be waving hallelujah. Hey, no time. You can't sit here and do church by yourself. I'm going to Cali Church next year. I'm going to see Annes. I'm going to Sele. Give me them names. What other churches? Jehovah Witness. Brotherhood of the Cross and Star. And I need people who go with me. Well, Kenny, please, will you go with me? Do you know what? We are going to make friends with them. At least a friend or two. And we are not even talking Bible. We are just connecting. Just loving each other. When you go to Catholic Church, have you been to a real Catholic Church? Confirmed Catholic Church. When they talk about Pentecostals, they say they are speaking. The way everybody don't laugh, like they are confused. Like when they talk about us, like those guys, they are not serious people. Then when they come to our own church, and we mention Catholic Church, they are not there. They are far. They are far from what we are saying. And the guy is looking at two of you and say, two of you are both confused. I say, for Christ's sake, I didn't come for a church. I came for my people. In 2017, our attitude towards the harvest must change. You can't say something is your harvest and you despise it. Have you seen a man who went to farm? And after everybody went to harvest, now say, what is this, sir? This coin is supposed to have 3 cups. Well, has only one. Leave it there and I will come and harvest it for you. We can't despise the harvest. We've got to be better than this. Church is not for us. It's for them. We have to take it to them. And it's not about what you know. Some of you think you need to know plenty Bible before you can begin to touch people's life. Or where? At what point? By the time I preach my first message, I had not read the Bible in my life. As a Christian, I got born again on Thursday. I came to preach on Friday. And I didn't wait for pulpit. I just gathered the people during break time. Hey, come. Something happened to me yesterday. I gave my life to Christ. Are you born again? Are you born again? This is what's on board now. You need to give your life to Christ. Jesus is real. Okay. About 10, 15 people. And I gave altar call.
Short message
and powerful. There's no time. Break is 30 minutes. You better do what you want to do and move. I'm addressing something. I said our attitude has to change. 2017. You are waiting for a calling. You are late. My son, for this cause have I created thee. Brother, please wake up. We are past that. God ain't talking like that no more. You got to wake up. He said he has given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. He said it. Please, can we just, whether you tag it and call it when you pray, or you tag it and call it what? Women outpour. Or you like tag it and call it harvest word. Or you even call it nameless. Whatever. However. Find your field. Buy it. Bible says a wise woman finds her field. And what? She buys it. What is valuable to you? Can you please take your time before you enter January 1 to identify the things that will be important to you in the next year? Don't just throw it in. Stop looking for high sounding words that tickle the head and corrupt the soul. You know high sounding words? God is not an English man. He has never spoken English in his life. The English is for you. There was a day the angel that came to inform me that I passed jam. He didn't speak to me, he spoke to me in another tongue. And I should have mistaken. I just asked him, sir, which language are you speaking? But the guy didn't even look like he understood English. So I thought. So when I didn't know how to communicate with him, I started speaking in tongues back to him. It was the other angel that was nicer that told me what the guy was saying. So don't restrict God to this, your grammar. God didn't go to school. It was you that went to school and learned English. So can we for once be serious and understand what heaven expects of us? They say if you are not wearing corporately dressed, you cannot be a worker. Question: what does it mean to be corporately dressed? Do you mean properly dressed or corporately dressed? If it's properly dressed, yes. If it's corporately dressed, God is not an Englishman. There are some things we've placed value on. We will devalue it before first, so that our profit can appear to all. Identify those things in your businesses. Identify those things in your relationships. Identify those things in your family. Identify those things in your personal life. Those things that you put a lot of effort on to, and there's nothing coming out. Cut them off. Cut off those people that like to chat and are not adding value to you. WhatsApp can drain, no? Something else we need to look at as we press into 2017. What are the things that caused your discouragement this year? I don't want you to think through it. I want you to be writing as you are getting it. So just write down this point. When you get back home, think through it. What are the things that really caused you great discouragement this year? Write it down. Maybe your children, maybe your job, maybe a loved one, maybe a sick person. What were those things that made you cry this year? Please, is it okay if I just talk like this? Please. Come next week if you want to hear a powerful message. Identify them. Many times we are in God's presence and we feel so much of God. Then after the service is over, we are feeling alone. Have you been there before? Who knows what I'm talking about? You feel so much of God during the service, and then all of a sudden you just wonder where did all of that go to? All of a sudden you can't pray anymore. You go back home, no light, no water, no food. There's no kerosene in the stove. Okay. And then to worsen your situation, pastor say, give everything in your pocket. And you gave everything, thinking that as soon as you gave it, a miracle will happen. A brother was in a church, and the pastor said, "The Lord is telling me that we need to take the offering bowl back and let people give, because he wants to bless somebody. Give empty everything in your pocket. That's the word of the Lord." And this brother, with the last 100 naira in his pocket, obeyed the prophetic instruction and dropped the 100 naira. That this is my season. And there's nothing wrong giving the last couple in your pocket. Give me a list of people who gave their all in the Bible. Abraham, his son, his only son, right? Who else? What? The widow. Okay, who else? The alabaster box. Please remember these people. Who else? What did she give? She gave it to the prophet. The widow of Zarephath. Who else? God the Father. He gave his all. He gave his son. Jesus. Jesus gave us his own all too. The Holy Ghost. Anna. She gave Samuel. Let's start from Abraham. Abraham gave Isaac. Yes or yes? Did God give him back to you? Follow me. You can't outgive God. If there's an amount in your pocket or in your bank that you are hiding, even though the ATMs have refused to work now, but if there's anything you went to hide, thinking that God will not have access to it, as long as you close your ear with that giant earpiece, Dr. Dre's earpiece, you are there. Are you not? So when God is saying, "My son, you just increase the volume, took it to the next level, also pressing to the kingdom of God. We're doing this right. We're flying it high. The banner of our God." I used to be a rapper. You guys don't know your pastor, honestly. I used to be. The gift has left me, or is leaving me. One day I'll surprise you guys here. I'll come and do a 30 minutes just rapping. But the Holy Spirit is working on my life. So just stay with me and be patient, amen. Let him finish his work, amen. So you just increase the volume. Because you know what God is going to say. That anytime he calls you in a particular way, he wants to collect something. So increase the volume. Go and read Abraham. If there was anything God wanted to collect from me, it was to give a memorial. So if there is any amount you ever think that you would have thought you had an achievement because you gave it to God, don't worry. He will not ask. He doesn't want you to backslide. So there's an amount you drop, you don't like, wow. You start crying. Say those that sow in tears. There's a kind of sowing that as you are giving, you are crying. You are not saying hallelujah, I gave it to the Lord. As you are doing, what I just coming crack, papa. Because maybe it's the money for your car or the money for your rent. Just watch that your shop you want to pay for walk away from you. Maybe it's the money for your wedding or your bad bride price. Money just walk away. And to worsen the question, your pastor just say thank you for being God. God bless you. And he walks away. Hi. You thought the pastor would just say, "Yikatama sahadaba," because you have obeyed the Lord. Handaba. I see three angels now. For pastor has gone. So Abraham gave God his son. What did God return to him? The son of promise. It was that day God said to him, in blessing I what? That whoever curses you, without your input, the person is cursed. If there's anybody who has been operating under family curse, you know, the way our parents sometimes, they describe the problem in the family, you'll be afraid. Say, you see your father's brother. That problem, you see your grandfather cursed him. Because your grandfather loved your father. That's why they are not friends. They are not close. Now, you see that your uncle. You are just watching that. Is this Uncle Badebo they are talking about like this? It's evil. You see that his wife. She has beards. She's a witch. Forget that deacon or something they said they are doing their church. She's a witch. The other day she attacked me in my dream. So in your mind, you're like, don't eat, oh, don't go there. And if by chance you are there, they give you food. Don't eat. No, first you come on. You are not there. Some of you, your parents are very educated. I know the kind of things my mom tells me. As my father tell her that anytime you come to my house, don't discuss. I don't want to hear any of this stuff. This is my house. The Holy Spirit lives here. Don't worry. You are safe here. I told her, let's say if I take you to London for 5 years, you forget your enemies. Just 5 years. Those demons in Nigeria, they can't speak English, so they cannot survive there. If I take to France, can they do qu'est-ce que c'est? So I told my mom, don't worry. I just pray that God should bless me. I know the kind of treatment you need. When you come, I'll be speaking Queen's English. I say, where are you? He say, you can't find them. What was the second person we mentioned? Abraham. Who else? Anna. Anna said to the Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Did God give the son back? How many children did God give after then? As every time God is asking you to do what you have never done before, he's setting up a memorial. He's trying to give you a name no man can give. God will never take anything from you. See that thing in your hand, he was the one who gave you. That one that you are struggling with. That ownership mentality. That is my own. My own. My name is on the certificate. 80% of the world billionaires didn't have degree. Deal with it. Deal with the fact that all this book you are reading, the richest people in the world didn't go to school. But they employed us. Is it not humbling? So if going to school is not the way to be rich, so what are we doing here? That going to school will make me at best and a good employee. That people who become CEOs, they think differently. It's not book. I said they do what? They think differently. So everything they have access to, they use it to enhance their thinking. And maybe somebody is not hearing me. Go and get the message and you will hear it again. Then it will sink. So God collected Samuel and gave her what? 5 children. It's not even the children. It's the memorial. There are women in the Bible that we don't even mention their name again. Like Jezebel. Jez. So what's your name? I'm Jezebel, but you can call me Jez. Shechem. Who else did we mention? Oh, that one with that had just one piece of bread to eat. And then the prophet said, can you, now this is the story. The brook had dried up, and the Lord said, arise, my servant. Go to Zarephath. For I have prepared a woman. I have commanded her. Look at the word command. I have commanded her to feed you. Now, this is the problem. By the time the prophet got there, the woman didn't look like God said anything to her. Because she was looking blank. Like, I am prophet Elijah. The Lord says, sorry, wait. In this old house, just look at this house. Let's not go far. Before he starts speaking in tongues, let me help your prophecy so it doesn't look like a failed prophecy. There's only 2 loaves of bread. My son will eat one, I will eat the other one, then we hold ourselves and die. Is it possible that God is telling you you are speaking to somebody and the person is not even acting or looking like God said anything? If you don't have eyes that see beyond what eyes can see, you would think God was lying. Sir, this lady is not responding. You told me. I heard you clearly. Have you seen people say, I know what I heard? God told me she's my wife. I pray. I know what the pastor, I know what the Lord showed me. Bro, now you know what God tell you. This girl, she go marry very soon. So if you have anything you want to do, do quick. Oh, ha, this guy is going. The pastor. My God cannot lie. This one is already lying. You see, when you ask a lady to marry you, she's not initially looking at that your toss head alone. She's just looking at you. Like, and I thank God for people like my wife, who saw hope and future in us. Because even me, sometimes I ask myself, Lord, will I make it? Until you are there, your ministry will not start. When you don't have anywhere to run to again. You now stop. You start. I stop running. So Nyade said, sorry for you guys. I'll try. Let me just try and say it in English. He said, if this thing that shoot me, if you want to kill me, kill me. If you will not kill me, leave me alone. Stop doing mo-mo-mo on me. What? Say Yoruba people, they will explain. You know, there are some things that they scare you. When they go, hum. Since morning I just kill me if you want to kill me. Waiting. Stop terrifying me now. Whoa. That's all gonna look. Elijah said, as surely as the Lord lives, you see that part of the prophecy came there. It didn't come with the initial instruction. Many times God will give you prophetic words in bits to stimulate your faith, so you have to show up, then the next word will come. Don't always wait for a complete word to step out. If God tells you everything, you will not need faith, and God is a faith God. Are you hearing me? God is a what? It's a faith God. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm saying this so you can interpret it in your own personal journey, that God is faithful. There was nobody God ever took anything from and didn't return it. Better. That woman, do you know the funny thing about her? The nation was in pains throughout that recession. Did the woman complain? Elijah that didn't even have time to shave his beard. He just wake up that morning. Share the bread that's multiplied against us. Okay, give me a shaving stick. Stand inside mirror. Our God is on us, our God. Elijah will do fine, but you know why? There's it's not a food problem. Just shave his beard. Hallelujah. Elijah. Say, but I say, man of God, food don't come again, no. Oh God, your God is real, though. Before. God doesn't watch channels news. He has never watched TV in his life. All the recession, you see people that are seeing it. God's economy, the world recession doesn't exist. And until you trust God beyond what you read in the papers, you cannot know his provision. Finally, who else again? Oh, that woman, she was a prostitute, right? There's nothing wrong with being a prostitute. Do you know why? Let me explain the power of a prostitute for you. She knows that everything she has value. And she puts a price on it. The problem with you and you and you, myself, we don't even see anything in us that has value. So we live carelessly. If you give a prostitute value, set up a business for her, empower her, train her, she will prosper more than you. Because rather than kill, she would rather trade her body, knowing that she's perishing, she's dying inside, but she will just stay there. Because she knows she cannot steal. She understands the power of value. Me and you, we prefer to live a lie. A prostitute doesn't go to you. You come to her. She gives you her terms. If you agree, fine. You, no value, no terms for engagement. Everybody's your friend. Prostitutes stay together. Or you don't know. They relate to themselves. They don't stay in the company of people that kill their vision. I'll be preaching to her. Say, you know, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to give your life to Christ. And so why are you doing in my house? Are you not eating my food? You understand what I'm saying? while what they do is not good, but they have attached a sense of value to it. When that woman was coming to Jesus, she didn't come with anything cheap. It's because of her sense of value. She went to the market and got the best of the best and brought it to him, because at this point she couldn't go on anymore. If she had gone to the Pharisees, they would have told her she's on her way to hell. If she had gone to the Sadducees, they would tell her your case is hopeless. How many men have you slept with? Do you know how much restitution you need to do? At what point will your sins be fully covered? You're a sinner. I can't help you. You're a sinner. She came to Jesus. Jesus didn't even ask her one thing. Jesus just let her express herself. And she unburdened her soul, used her hair, which is symbolic of her glory, to wash his feet. And Jesus just stayed there and washed her. My friend, Brother Judas, a senior apostle, came and said, "Master, first things first. See, in everything, Master, like you have taught us, there's a value. What this lady is doing is waste. We could have converted this thing to use it to help the poor. How come Judas all of a sudden is having a good idea? Because money is involved. Don't be deceived by all these people trying to give you advice. Many times you are not really looking for an advice. You just need somewhere you can pour your heart. When I come to you and I'm crying, let me pour my heart. Don't try to preach to me. Let me cry. Let me weep. Let me unbody my heart. And then just hug me and tell me it's going to be okay. If I need your advice, then I will ask you to give it to me. The problem is that most times, people don't even know if their secrets are safe with you. Not anymore. 2017, when God is looking for people who can help others through their journey, we find you. That woman poured her heart to the Lord. What did Jesus say about her? He said, wherever the gospel is preached, Jesus gave her a memorial. He said, wherever the gospel is preached, what will happen? He said, her name will be what? Will be mentioned. Did she perform a miracle? Did she win any soul to Christ? Did she sow a seed? That box that she... It's like working 1 year in the bank and you earn 350,000. 3,000 in value of that, the value of what she spent that day, today is valued at $50,000. Times 500 naira to a dollar. What's that? Talk to me. 250 million naira. Probably the proceeds of all the money she has been saving from prostituting. She was willing to exchange it for his forgiveness. I want to encourage you this year as you go into 2017. Be patient with people. You don't know where they are coming from. Be patient. Listen to them. Don't be too quick to judge. When you see someone that always, any small thing, remove his shirt, wants to fight. You don't know where that person grew up in. Maybe the person had to learn to fight to survive. If you see someone that is not so trusting, don't be too quick to say, "Hey, yeah, he doesn't trust anybody. Hey, she doesn't trust anybody." You don't know where she's coming from. Maybe the last person that her mom trusted killed somebody. Or the last person she trusted broke the heart. Even though your heart is not tumbler. "He broke my heart. Can you believe he broke my heart?" Sister, your heart is not tumbler. It's not only women whose hearts are broken. You see brothers sometimes, when we are counseling, when they are talking, say, "This one's heart is broken." I say all of that so that you will bypass any limitation that stands between you and God. If God asks you to give something that is in your hands, give it to somebody else. Don't just give it anyhow. If God asks you to give this shirt to somebody, go back home, wash it, iron it, starch it, arrange it neatly, and present it with respect. Be a reflection of the kingdom you stand with. Don't just say, "Lord, say, make I give you. Make, let me obey quickly before I change my mind. God, this is my best shirt." my best wristwatch, because I still see it in my mind, say Longines wristwatch, was a Valentine gift for my wife. I've never gotten a Valentine gift in my life till I married my wife. And I don't know I'm supposed to give anybody a gift on Valentine, because I wasn't brought up that way. Valentine is what people celebrate. It's not for us. I'm a Christian. So I woke up this morning, then my wife gave me a box, and I opened it, and I saw this Longines wristwatch. I'd seen the advert on CNN, and I said, oh boy, I just carried my phone, I called Pastor Desmond. Ha! See what I saw this? She just left it on the bed and left me sleeping. Man of God. Apart from saying to us here, the Lord, marry a woman who knows these things. As in someone that, you know, can stimulate the atmosphere. Amen. Though my woman, that the only thing you know about her is prayer. When you ask her, how can we relax this evening? Say, let's pray. We are not praying today. Let's go and spend money. Come and spend that your money. I want to eat inside. So she put that box on the bed, and I woke up and I saw it. So because I've seen the advert, I knew definitely if it's on CNN, it's expensive. And I went for this conference, and I saw my friend, he said, Daniel, and the Lord said, give that watch to him. As a matter of principle, if you give me something, I don't give it to anybody else. I will wear it. As a principle. And because it's the most expensive watch I've ever worn in my life, me, I will not use my money to go and buy that kind of watch. For what? If I buy a wristwatch that is 45,000, well, please spare me, and this is not for vainglory. The watch I'm wearing, they said, is close to 50,000. This one. And the Lord is not asking me to give it to anyone here. But it was a gift. Somebody just walked and said, Pastor, I didn't even thought it's cufflinks. See where my mind is going. I tell it's cufflinks. Because every time I bought a box like that, it was cufflinks that was inside. So when I saw it, this watch is fine. I didn't even know. What's the name again? Christian or something. Michael Coles or something. I don't even know the guy from anywhere. They said the guy is a big name in the world. I'm hearing it. When I wore it, I heard. I didn't know. It's Longines, I know, because it's on CNN. They said this one is not even the mate of that one. So now, I'm guarding it. Lord, please don't ask for it, because you know I've already praised you in advance. So just leave my watch for me. Amen. Funny enough, if you ask me to give it to you, I will do it. Now, I won't take it. If the Lord, I said if. Or I'll take it to the market and sell it and give you the cash. Let nothing come between you. Let there not be anything your eyes can see that will come between you and your maker. That your eyes can see. This year, we are going to love people out of debt. Love people out of sin. Somebody is hungry. Don't ask the person, have you given your life to Christ? Don't associate with people that the best they do out of you is make you feel like you are special. Every other person is not spiritual. The proof of your spirituality is to walk in love. It's not being able to preach. And if you don't have, be honest enough to say, sister, I don't have. And she should be able to believe that you are saying the truth. Don't have a pattern of lies. Like all your, when you tell us three things, two and a half is lie. You understand? Because the real people that we are bringing into this harvest in 2017, they are people that are tired of us. They are tired of our lies and deception. So we are going to go back there and love them. You must know that your leadership gift has a capacity for what? Truth and error. Every leadership skill, every leadership gift has capacity for truth and error. In other words, you can use the gift of God on your inside to advance error. Are you with me? There was a priest in the Old Testament. Can you hear me? There was a priest in the Old Testament who started his priestly ministry, and he was charging about, I think, 22 shekels. And there's always somebody who can pay for what you want to do. This was a guy who had graduated from preschool. Instead of him to go and stay with his tribe and serve the Lord, he went to sit in another corner, and somebody employed him to be a priest, was paying him 22 shekels to serve another God. I say your leadership gift, that gift of God on your inside, has capacity for error. You can use it anyhow. One day you will reckon. In the year 2017, let's pay attention to the things that do not matter. Cut them off. Choose your association. Choose your friends. If there's someone that has something that you value, get close to the person. Let all your relationships be defined. Say, it's my friend from our village. No time. This year, let God bring you into covenant relationships. You know what a covenant relationship is? People that it was the Lord that connected two of you together. Those people are usually no more than three or four. Look at what happened to Zacharias. He was in the presence of the Lord. And I used to think that once you are in the presence of the Lord, flesh will go. But there are people that it is in God's presence that their flesh rebels. I feel your presence, Holy Spirit. Oh, you are mighty in this place, oh God. And in Luke chapter 1, scripture says, while he was in the holiest of all, an angel appeared to him and said, Lord favors you, you are going to have a son. Told him about the son. And the guy began to rebel. That was this. I'm old. My wife is also old. What he was saying, you know, that looked like a statement of fact. What God was hearing was different. What God was hearing was, if you knew you would have given me a child, you should have showed up early. I've given up on, see, don't worry. I will not tell people your prophecy failed. But leave me. Don't show up now and try to make everything look alright. You understand? I prayed for years. I asked you to heal. I asked you to heal my son. You didn't do it for years. You are coming and telling me one thing. Look at the way the angel dealt with him. Verse 19 of Luke chapter 1. Verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man. My wife is also stricken in years. Look at the way the angel said. He said, I am Gabriel. Look at that. Can you see that? He said, I am Gabriel. You see, when you come into the space and into the point where God begins to have need to introduce himself to you, somebody is about to get in trouble. Are you hearing me? The angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. In other words, when I say something to you, the validity is in God's presence. Just because you don't feel like it, just because nothing on the outside looks like it, just because you feel that God has not been faithful to you, just because you think that the prophecy is past, just because you think you are too broken to be mended, I am Gabriel. I'm the prophetic angel that stands before God. The validity of what I say to you is on the integrity of the throne of God, not your experience. Because many times we think that we can marry our experience with God's integrity. He said, I am Gabriel and I stand before God. If I say something to you, the integrity of my words is the integrity of God's throne. Because of what you have said, you will be dumb. The guy was just trying to say his mind. I'm old. Look for somebody else, man. Can't do this to somebody else. I'm too old. People know my shame. There's no need to give me another prophecy. The last one you gave me, we didn't see anything. The Bible said, usually when they come out of the holiest of all, they will come out with a message for the people. And then this man came out. Say, we will restrict you from your capacity to deliver God's message because you rejected the messenger. People thought he was speaking in tongues. That is still in the spirit. Now, the prophecy came to pass. Because between the time that the man who said he's old, went to the corner and blocked his wife, we didn't hear that part again. When he could talk, he was useless. When they removed the mouth, it became active. Is it possible that this your mouth? You receive a prophecy from God and you say, yes! Then when you go back home, and then somebody is waiting to insult you,
you begin to mirror the exact opposite of your prophecy. The day they took his mouth, it didn't last him 3 months. Could that be his problem all the while? If God knows he wants to give me husband, he should do it though. Because I don't know how long I can wait again. God, you promised me. I hold on to your word. Do it now. Your word is yea and amen. Say, by the words of my mouth, commanding me. Lord, I command you. Go and... That's what we do. I will make it look like it's faith. It's not faith because you are being bold. It's faith because you trust him. And that's what I meant, as after the other thing, you feel dry. I meant as when I come to him, I just have my own song to sing. Have mercy on us, O God. In your kindness, I will see your face again. When I get to that point in my life, where it looks like I'm even more confused than the confuser, I close my eyes and I will sing. In your kindness, I will see your face again. In your kindness, I will see your face. What I need is not the prophecy. What I need is to see your face. I need to know that you are still with me. I will see your face again. In your kindness,
I will see your face again.
When you are in seasons of contradiction, where you cannot marry your prophecy with your current state, turn to him, not the prophecy. Turn to him, not the prophecy. Because Gabriel had to remind Zechariah, I am Gabriel, the one that stands before the Lord. So the emphasis of that statement is the Lord. When you are in a place where you've been broken, raped, abused, messed up, and you don't know what to do, turn to him. When I didn't have a prophecy, you called me and anointed me and told me this is what I will do. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm confused. That is more faith. That is more faith than trying to speak God's language to him. Being honest is more of faith. Back down into the few verses after that, there was somebody also in the area that received the prophecy. She was doing her own thing, serving the Lord faithfully, always in church, prayerful, speak in tongues, clean the seats, wash the dirty stuff. And then one day she was doing that, and Gabriel again showed up. Can you see the way Gabriel related to a pastor and the way he related to an usher? The usher had more sense than the pastor. Hey, stay with me. He appeared to her and said, thou art favored of the Lord. Do we have that verse? In the sixth month, and 6 years is the number of the end of the activity of man, Gabriel was sent from God into a city in Galilee named Nazareth. That's like the Mushi of Lagos. Go ahead. To a virgin espoused to a man who was Joseph. Is it possible that God could have just looked for somebody with less baggage? This girl was already on a good path. Her life was moving forward finally. And then you came and was talking about getting belly. You understand? There are some things that I just don't add up. Of the house of David, and the virgin's name was what? Was Mary. Go ahead. And the angel said, hail, highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Just before they give you the bad news, they do all that alien thing. So, blessed are thou amongst women. To be honest, I don't know what I did to get that accolade, but fine, let's just deal with it. And when she saw him, she was what? Troubled. Is it possible that every time God addresses you, he's addressing you by your prophecy and not by your physical condition? Yeah, they said you are a prostitute. They said you are loose. They say you are broke. They say you can never make it. They say in your family, nobody has ever made it. But when God is talking to you, he says, oh, thou mighty man of valor. Is it possible that God never looks at you by your situation, by your prophecy? That the only reason why we are where we are is because somebody somewhere despises his prophecy. And you prove that with your utterances. Next verse. I'll round up in a bit. The angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Go ahead. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Scroll to the verse where it says, "Be it unto me according to your word." It shall be great. Okay, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord." That posture is the posture of when after God has spoken to you, the posture of submission. I had my plans. I knew what I wanted to do with my life. For some reason, things have never really worked. But this is what you want. Here I am. Send me. You may not understand that thing. It's a place where you are saying, "I've been in Chevron. I've worked in the bank for close to 10 years. Are you having a good life? I'm having, things are finally beginning to add up." And then you walk up to me and you take all of that in. I'll share this experience with you. A few weeks ago, I shared this with only maybe my wife and maybe one other person. A few weeks ago, I had a vision around 4 a.m. And a messenger from the Lord came to me and began to speak with me about the next phase of my life in 2017. And he told me a few things. One of which was that he reminded me that I was to resign. He reminded me. In case I'm still thinking it's in my head, you are hearing it now. I woke up that morning, dressed up, I went to work. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I tried to get into Union Bank. A lot of my colleagues had moved and they were trying to help her. Nothing really worked out. I tried so hard. I called a few of my friends, senior colleagues. Because Union Bank and my office, they use the same software. So it would have been quite easy for me to just blend in. The same software. And nothing happened. Nobody even acknowledged my mail. Like, it just went to junk folder. I had the vision 4 a.m. 11 a.m., I got this call from Union Bank. "Hello, Benga, how are you?" I said, "Fine." I didn't know who was talking to me. So I used Truecaller. Happened to one, the woman that taught me banking about 9 years ago. And she's Muslim. Very rigid. She's always stressing my life out. "Benga, what is ACLI?" That was when we first started banking. That's the menu we used to check your, you know. I say, "Acquired immune." "Benga, you cannot work in my team like this." She now took me to our senior boss. "Benga, what is ACLI?" I can't remember. Because, you know, there's a way she harasses you, just forget the remaining thing, you know. I see, she's very nice, but Bala is too much. Kai. Let them transfer. You know those kind of boss that you love them, but just transfer. We'll be relating from the other side. On the other side. So she called me. And I said, and I called her back. "Ah, madam, it's been a while. How are you?" You know, of course, now we know the work, so we can relate. "Say, Gbenga, how are you?" "Say, okay, Gbenga, you're on speaker. I want to ask you one question. Are you ready to come to Union Bank?" "Say, I need an answer now. Now." I remembered my vision 4 a.m. When I told Pastor Bola, I was screaming. That was the day I knew God called me. My brother, that yes answer would have moved my salary to about 450,000-500,000. That yes. If I said yes, that was the interview. That was the interview. It's not the one that I was trying to do, that they should call me. That yes, I am willing was the interview. For the platter of gold. That everybody ignored me for 2.5 years. And then God came to remind me 4 a.m. that we are still living. 11 a.m., they called me. Meanwhile, as I was receiving that call, my boss was at the other end shouting, "Benga, the ATM is down." In my mind, I'm like, "It's not your fault. It's not your fault. That God will call me." See, they just, they don't carry me come on here. You know the anointing. The moment I dropped the call and she started screaming for there, I felt like, what am I even doing in this bank congregation? See, they came on with honor to take me away. This one did not even say, hey, they have started sending mails again. See, this is your noise. In fact, it's one of the things I want to walk away from. Because the team I was going to be working was a special team. I was going to be working directly with her. So they told her to bring her own team. So I'm just walking in and I'm walking in. These are people she has worked with, that she trained so she can contribute. They don't want her to work with anybody that cannot share her vision or that cannot withstand her shouting. So when she asked me, say, you're on speaker and I need a yes or no answer, I now started laughing. She now changed to the voice I used to know. Minga, what is the problem? Something the matter. I was just laughing. You know, I was laughing. It's just a few hours. 4 a.m., 11 a.m. 7 hours. I was laughing. She now spoke to me in Yoruba. Kilode. Shotinishesibo mini. I was just laughing. And I said, no, man. Why are you wasting my time, Benga? I was just laughing. I was just laughing. The laugh of, God. See how you finally did my life. That 450 is not a bad idea. I've been promising my wife this 50,000. What's that, Esther? You say, up to now, I'm still scratching my body. This one, just take the ATM, buy, pay. So she now spoke to me, said, Benga, what is the problem? She spoke to me, now started talking to me in Yoruba. This is an interview session. And I said to her in Yoruba, Moni anwonto ni mi ni ki mabo. In English, that means, the one who owns me, say I should come. She now said, she now asked me, are you leaving the country? I said, no. Have you gotten another job? I said, no. She said, so what is it? I said, I must now attend to my father's business. She said, Benga, thank you for telling me this. I now told her, if I come, I will not do 3 months. And I won't want to hurt you, because I will still walk away. As the call ended, I looked to the heavens. I knew I was called. I will not walk away from that kind of opportunity. I knew I was called. The level of your strength in the spirit is determined by what you walked away from. So the day you see me come to this office, to this church, and I wear my office ID card, and I'm leading worship, just know that is the day. That's the last time I wear the ID card. Very soon, I'll just wear it, and I begin to sing, Yahweh, Yahweh, where would I be if not for you? And you may see me crying, though, don't worry. Yahweh, Yahweh, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Say, Yahweh, Yahweh, where would I be if not for you? That's why I say, Yahweh, Yahweh, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. That I swore to myself and I swore to my God, wherever you sent me,
if I walked away from this. Because I was not walking away for nothing. I was walking away into a promotion. In the midst of all the rejection that is around me, I got an offer to walk into a promotion. And you told me a few hours before that time, you wanted to remind me that I'm still leaving that place. Oh, so the devil realized that maybe he applied it. Let's go and bring that into him. They said it's recession, but I got a job. What recession? When Mary saw Elizabeth, are you hearing me? She said, good morning, who is in the house? And the prophecy on her inside. The Bible says she was filled with the Holy Ghost. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. 2017, find your company. Find people who are pregnant like yourself. Don't try to be in anybody's space. Anybody that doesn't understand your condition. Somebody who's not dressed like you. If you are pregnant, you are not trying to look like a yuppie girl. You've got a baby on your inside. You watch your appetite. You arrange yourself in a different way. Not because you want to, but because there's something on your inside. 2017, you will choose wisely. You will choose your friends. Some you will delete their number. Some you will block on WhatsApp. Some you will just say goodbye to. Don't come back. Some you will cry because you actually want them in your life, but heaven says no. 2017 is that year you make that choice. And don't worry if it's challenging. I know. I understand. Please come to me, we will cry together. God spoke a word into Mary's heart. Mary went to look for her partner in destiny, whose husband was being punished by the Lord. It seems to me that the women have more sense in this sense. When Jesus died and was buried, who ran away? The men. At the risk of her life, who stayed by the tomb? Mary. When she stood at that tomb, she wept because she missed her Lord. She missed his wise sayings. She missed the fact that he was supposed to be alive and they can't even find the body. She stood there and wept like, it's my prophecy finally walking away from me. And Jesus stood by her glorified. She didn't even know it was him anymore. The tears had filled her face. She just couldn't see what was in front of her anymore until Jesus said, Mary. He called her the way he used to call her. Then she responded, Rabboni, teacher, master. In your moments of pain, he will speak to you in a language you will understand. Say, go and tell my brothers. Hey! Did you hear that? Before then, they were his apostles. After he said they were his friends. But when he rose, he was the first of many to come. He was a new man. He was a new man. He will give birth to men like him. Say, go and tell my brothers that I sent to my father. You don't understand that when God looks at you, he doesn't see less of Jesus in you. That's why I say you can come boldly. I know you messed up, but you can come boldly. I know you failed again. You can come boldly. So go and tell my brothers that I sent to my father, and I bring them the promise of the father. It was the one that was forgiving much that could stand by the tomb. When Jesus was leading Mary to Christ, it was on top of a man they went to bring her. Or under a man. She could not even raise her head to look at his face. Peter had run away. John that will be singing, you are the love of my life and I love you. His number was switched off. But the one that knew that she was once lost but now found stood there. I would rather die and be with him than to walk away not knowing what my future was, because
every minute I gave to life was when I met him. She stayed there alone, not minding that she was staying close to a corpse, possibly. Don't stop running from here. God understands your prophecy. You are not a product of mistake or somebody two people met somewhere. There are no illegitimate children with God. Stop running. Come home. Come home. Find peace for your souls. Let God help you. Can you please at least admit that you don't know what to do? This is the law of the first commandment. The love is love. I would look at the prophecy of Jesus and I would think that simply because the prophecy was so eclectic and beautiful, that Jesus was going to have it so easy. Many times it seems God will entice you to embrace your destiny, because now I'm walking away from a 6-digit figure and I will have to live by faith. But he said, for this cause were you born. I made you for this purpose. It's not that thing. I can give you the word, but I want you. And I may not give you the word, I still want you. When Stephen was dying, he passed the mantle to Paul. Paul did not even know he took anything. But when the prophecy came forth, he said, I will show him what he will suffer for my sake. There was a day they stoned Paul and people thought he had died. When they came to take his body, they said, I'm still alive. They stoned him till they left him and he has died. People started fasting and prayer on Paul's case, that will not eat until he dies. That's the level of household wickedness you can see. When people going to fast and prayer for you, that you will die, 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 die. The descendants of the Pharisees. Yet you are still here. Despite all the things they did in your family, they killed your dad, they killed your mom, you are still here. Because there's a prophecy over your head. 2017 is our year. In this year, we are going to walk in his love. We are going to be confident in him. Shame will not be our portion. In 2017, we will proudly proclaim that we are his, and he is alone. In 2017, we will find healing for our souls. We will help others find healing. In the name of Jesus. Father, we are here again. We are asking for you to help us. We abide in your light and we humble ourselves before you. And we ask our Father that you will grant us help. That you will help us. That 2017 will be the year that your will is done in us. We don't want to run without you. We don't want to walk without you. We don't want to struggle in the things you have asked us to do. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. Forgive our sins. Heal our land. Heal our land. Heal our land. Wipe away our tears. Let us find hope in you. Like Mary, let us be able to say, be it unto me according to your word. Let our children be gathered to us again. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Let the joy of the Lord now be our strength. Let the joy of the Lord now be our strength. Let our tears be wiped away. Let us find hope and rejoice in you again. Rejoice over us, O God.
Heal our bodies. Heal our brokenness. Heal our bodies. Heal our brokenness. Right now, all over this place. Heal bodies. Heal brokenness. People with broken souls. Fix them. Mend them. Let us find joy in your presence again. Let us find our dancing steps in your presence again. Let us find our dancing steps in your presence again. Put your song on our lips. Wonderful to me. You are wonderful to me. May your eyes see His glory right now. Jesus, wonderful to me. You are wonderful to me.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us, plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website, www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling, 080-8317-8191. God bless you.